May what I speak, may what you hear be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. I should say before I begin, really, that today we have a visual aid for the sermon. This window is Martha and Mary. If you're on this side and you can't really see it, do have a look. Later we have Martha and Mary and Jesus. It's so interesting to be preaching about it while I'm standing right beside it. Anyway, here's a verse from two verses from that gospel. Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." So, tell me this. Which one are you? Are you a Martha? Or are you a Mary? Yeah? Perhaps you're a Martha. You know the kind of people I'm talking about? The Marthas of this world? They're the people who are always busy, always on the go. They always have things to do, people to see, help to give. Maybe you're a Martha. Maybe. Or perhaps, on the other hand, maybe you're more like Mary, content to sit, happy to wait, ready to receive. Are you a Martha, or are you a Mary? Well, in October, just 2 months' time or thereabouts, I'll have been your priest here for 2 years. So I think I'm now well qualified to pronounce and decide definitively on this particular question. And I think it's true to say that most of us here in this congregation, I think we're basically Marthas. I do. Busy, active, on the go Marthas. And a good job too that we are, by the way, because I can tell you that no church community would last very long without the Marthas of this world. Make no mistake, it's the Marthas who keep this and many other churches, almost all other churches, and many other organizations going. They, after all, the Marthas are the ones who sit on the committees, volunteer for the jobs, make the coffee, sing in the choir, read the lessons, teach the Sunday school, arrange the flowers, bake the cakes, organize the bazaar, give their money, prepare the service sheet, and always, always say yes when they're asked if they can help. Thank God for the Marthas of this world. Where would we be without them? But if that's true, and it is, if being a Martha is absolutely indispensable to the life of the Christian community, then what on earth is going on in today's gospel? Why is Jesus praising passive, receptive Mary over and above active, busy Martha? Why is Jesus prioritizing, or so it would seem anyway, prioritizing Mary over Martha? Why is that? Well, let's have a look. Let's have another look at the text. Luke chapter 10. It seems to me that the key to understanding this particular passage lies in the very first verse. It lies in the very first words of the gospel we just heard. That reading began with the phrase, quote, "Now as they went on their way." As they went on their way. Maybe that doesn't sound very significant to you, as they went on their way, so let me explain. Remember what we're talking about here. Firstly, the "they" we're talking about is Jesus and his disciples. And secondly, and most importantly, the way we're talking about is the way to Jerusalem, the way to Good Friday, the way to the cross. Yeah. In other words, this is no ordinary journey. This is no ordinary everyday journey that Jesus is on. This is not just another social call Jesus is making on his friends Martha and Mary. No, this is Jesus' final earthly journey, his journey to crucifixion and ultimately to resurrection. This is Jesus' journey to that moment when he would show us what it means to stand for peace and truth in a world enthralled to violence and half-truths. This is Jesus' journey to that moment when he will show us once and for all the lengths that love will go to, the lengths love will go to bring us home. This is no ordinary journey. This is no ordinary social call. And I think that somehow Mary realized that. Mary realized that this was a journey, a visit, a human being like no other. And so she set aside her usual priorities. She disregarded the rules of hospitality, the usual requirement to give to guests. Instead, she received from her guest. Knowing that the time was short, Mary simply sat and watched and listened and received. And so should we. And so should we. You see, here on a Sunday morning at St. Edmund's, we do lots of things. We do lots of things. We sit, we stand, we sit again, we stand again. We sing, we pray, we give of ourselves and our resources at the offertory. We share the peace at the sign of the peace. But really, when it's all said and done, we're here to receive. We're here to receive two things, mainly. We're here to receive the gift of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness offered to us for the asking, no strings attached. And we're here to receive the gift of God's grace and God's life and God's love offered in the Holy Communion, again for the asking, no strings attached. We're here not just to give, but to be given to. We're here ultimately to receive, to receive. Which sounds very beautiful, but you know, the problem is, for many of us Marthas, speaking personally as a Martha, for many of us Marthas, receiving can be more difficult than you might think. Receiving, after all, implies some lack. Yeah, some need, some weakness, some deficiency. And many of us Marthas, we keep ourselves very busy precisely so that we don't have to stop and think about our needs, our weaknesses, our deficiencies. Besides, we know, us Marthas, we know how hard it is to keep the show on the road. We know how hard it is to keep the best side out, to keep up appearances, to keep up the appearance of having it all together. And so we paddle furiously beneath the surface. We keep ourselves very busy. Ah, when will we learn? We are not at church to achieve. We're at church to receive. Yeah. Rowan Williams, one of my great heroes, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, he put this rather wonderfully, and maybe rather surprisingly, when he said this. He said, the life of faith, the life of prayer, is basically, it's just like sunbathing. Sunbathing. What does he mean? Let me explain. Here's how Rowan Williams puts it. When you're lying on the beach, something is happening. Something that has nothing to do with how you feel or how hard you're trying. You're not going to get a better tan by screwing up your eyes and concentrating really hard. It doesn't work like that. You just give the time, and that's it. All you have to do is turn up, and then things change at their own pace. You simply have to be where the light can get at you. The life of faith is like sunbathing. You simply have to be where the light can get at you. Well, my fellow Marthas, if that's what you are in the right place this morning. You are in the place where you can simply be and the light can get at you. So I have a suggestion. Can I suggest, please, that we set aside our Martha natures and be Marys for today? Can we just be Marys for today? Let's put aside all our anxious fretting and our to-do lists and our emails and our attempts to cover up our deeper needs with surface busyness. Let's give up all of that and let's be Mary. Let's come to this table and let's receive. Let's come and receive from the one who is the light of the world. Let's come and in the sacrament of Holy Communion, allow his life, his light, his love, his healing, his forgiveness to take root within us. For now, let's simply be where the light of Christ can get at us. Luke chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, distracted by many things. There is need of only one." There really is. Amen.